Last week on Main Menu, we told you that reliable sources had indicated that Freedom Scientific was about to announce that it had acquired the Arkenstone line of products and the Arkenstone brand name. That is indeed what happened within 24 hours of Main Menu going to air. On the program to talk about this is Jim Fruchterman of Arkenstone. Thanks for joining us, Jim. When did Freedom Scientific actually start to talk turkey with you guys?
They approached us last year, but we didn't take the discussions that seriously. And I think that we actively began discussions, say, sometime early this year, and concluded an agreement in May.
What was the reason for giving them a brush off in the first place and then reconsidering?
Well, I think our initial reaction to anyone talking to a nonprofit about buying them was that, hey, we're a nonprofit and we're not interested. And I think that Dick Chandler took our comments and came back and talked to us about what our goals were and what we wanted to achieve, and then tried to craft a proposal that enabled the Arkenstone team to be able to do the sort of things that we wanted to do long term and allow Freedom Scientific to gain access to the leading reading product.
So let's just be clear then, what is it that Freedom Scientific has actually acquired now?
Freedom has bought assets from Arkenstone, which is a nonprofit organization in the U.S. The assets they've acquired are primarily those associated with the business operations of our Open Book, Vera, and Win reading products, and a handful of Arkenstone employees are going to join Freedom as employees, as well as they're also purchasing the trade name Arkenstone, which is necessitating that we change our name. And right now we're still going through that process, but the assumption is that we'll be using the name Benetech, which is short for Beneficial Technology, and that our new website, say in another month or two, will be Benetech.org.
And you're remaining with Benetech, I understand. You're sticking around in California.
Yes, that's correct. Our goal to use the proceeds of this sale is to develop new technology for people with disabilities. And as part of that, the engineering team of Arkenstone is staying here in California and continuing to develop, first of all the products we've been working on for at least the next 6 to 12 months. And then, secondly, to expand our operations to do new projects that are either related to that or unrelated to that, but all in the area of access technology.
So will these be non-reading system-related projects, or is Freedom Scientific keeping you guys on to do the R&D and the actual product development?
Well, I think we have both options. I think that we are committed to developing the next major version of Open Book and Win and Vera, and we're likely to be involved in the next version beyond that, but we probably will not necessarily be the core engineering team after this transition that happens over the next 6 months. And then we have the ability to go off and develop whatever technology we like, as long as it's not directly competitive with the products we actually sold to Freedom. So we can't develop a new reading system and go into competition with them, but if we wanted to invent, you know, a CCTV, we could do that, and then our only obligation is to give Freedom an opportunity to become a distributor of that.
I'm quite interested that it is possible to make that kind of legally binding agreement between two organizations that pretty much prohibits Benetech forever and a day from manufacturing something that it's become very good at.
Well, I think that that's very common when you transfer business assets to someone, is that they're expecting to get the benefit of those assets. And if we were to go immediately back into the reading system business, I think that wouldn't really have been a fair deal.
Do you think it's going to be a challenge for the people who actually start working on Open Book after the next release to decipher the source code and work out how the programmers have done what they've done and why they've done what they've done? Will that take some catch-up time?
Actually, because we have this transition period planned where we're keeping just about all the responsibility for Open Book 5, and we'll be involved in Open Book 6, I think that we're not expecting to see much in the way of transition difficulties. In addition, we've already had a new senior engineer who's worked for Henner Joyce that is going to become the lead open book developer, and he's already been here for at least a week getting deep into the product, and he's a very talented guy, and I know he's going to be able to do a great job with the product as we move on to the generation after the next generation.
So why in the end did you decide that this was a good move for Arkenstone to make, presumably a good move for blind people? You believe that this is a good thing for us?
Yes, indeed I do, and I'd say that the timing was such that we had already identified a strategic plan for Arkenstone that involved raising substantial amounts of money to do new R&D. Basically, Arkenstone was profitable, but our objective financially was not to make a lot of money. And historically, we made about 1% on sales, and that meant that we didn't have a lot of money to do brand new R&D. So we had identified this objective to go off and raise millions of dollars to do new projects. And the Freedom deal came along after we were starting to circulate that plan. Our board had approved going out and raising the money, and Freedom basically said, we'll fund that effort through the acquisition of these product lines, and we'll pay you to do the R&D on these projects, and we'll pay to have more engineers working on those projects, and the money that you get allows you to hire still more engineers to work on new projects. So I think that the objective of Arkenstone was to fill needs we didn't see being served by the business community as well as we thought they ought to be. And I think that with this new money, not only can we continue the open book product lines, basically getting them out sooner and with more features in the future, because we'll be better funded, we also get to do some new things where we can innovate.
And yet, was it a tough decision in some respects, given that you're kind of surrendering control of what was Arkenstone's core business and actually its reason for being founded in the first place?
I believe there's two parts to this. One is, I've had 4 or 5 months to think about this and make decisions, and so I'm at a different place now than I was when these conversations started, and I already mentioned that my initial reaction was that we weren't going to have these conversations. But I think that the more I looked at this, the more I realized that this gave us the opportunity to do more. And I am losing control over the actual open book products per se, but I'm having a very large role in influencing where they go. I'm leading the engineering team that's developing the next couple of versions. And I have a huge amount of flexibility to do new things with the funding that we've received. And that, in the balance, is what's going to allow us to do more things over the next several years for our target client base, which is people with disabilities who need information access technology.
What kind of other things are you looking at then? Can you give us a few examples of the kind of thing you might be applying this R&D money towards?
Right now, I have lots of ideas, to be really honest. I think that over the years, people have made a lot of suggestions of things, and we've had to stick pretty much to what are we going to do with OpenBook or Vera, and we're obviously, innovating in those areas, but within that range. I would like to be working on portable devices, camera-based devices. I'd like to be working on electronic book technology. I have an idea that I've nicknamed Bookster.org that enables people to share scanned books around the world, and if I structure it right, I'll try and do that in a way that abides by U.S. copyright law. Maybe I shouldn't say the world, certainly within the U.S., and then we'll deal with the other international legal issues. I'd like to do microfinance programs to allow blind people who are, say, not employed but would like to get technology to be able to get affordable technology. We had a couple of programs like that at Arkenstone, which were either 0% or 6% interest loans aimed at people who would be able to get funding otherwise. Basically, I want to go out there and innovate either in the technology, well, in the technology area, either helping people get the gear that they need, get access to the books and information they need, or invent completely new products. At the same time that I want to be doing even more advanced stuff with the Open Book product line than I could have done before, because I'll have more resources. But in the case of the Open Book product line, it will be going through Freedom Scientific.
Tech support is something that's come up in the last couple of days on the basis that it is said that toll-free tech support will no longer be available. If that's the case, that's a significant downer for blind people, isn't it?
I think for blind people who are in the United States and Canada, that is going to be a downer. At the same time, I think that the tech support availability is going to go up. I mean, for the last 6 months, we've had one on-site tech support person and one person who's been working for us on the East Coast of the United States off-site. And while I think that, you know, they've done a very good job of tech support, quite often people didn't get immediate response time. Of course, Tanner Joyce runs a pretty sophisticated tech support center that they've been greatly upgrading over the last year, which has, 10 people, and the average call wait time is 3 or 4 minutes. And I think people are going to get snappier response, and we're busy training those people so that they know how to support Open Book. And then, of course, my engineering team and I am going to be the second level of support for those people so that if one of those arcane questions comes along, that they can still tap the people who know about the products and have developed them for the last 10+ years.
I guess there are two issues here, though. If Freedom Scientific wanted to assure the blind community that this really isn't a problem, it's business as usual, in fact, it's better than business as usual, then sure as heck, taking away the toll-free tech support is not a good way to do that. And the second thing is it seems to just flagrantly ignore the socioeconomic status of blind people, the fact that for them they may have got their Open Book through some sort of assistance, government assistance or voluntary group assistance, and it really is a big deal to make a long distance call to get tech support for their product.
Well, I think those are two separate issues, and I think that let me tackle the first one. I think that the technology industry for the blind tends to trail the general computer industry and its policies and approaches by some number of years. That was actually very helpful for me when I came into this industry after being the VP of marketing of a high-tech software and hardware company in the mass market, as I could look at this market and say, okay, I know where things are going to happen over the next 5 or 10 years, and I, for instance, decided to start a dealer channel, which was not the typical way people operated. Toll-free technical support has pretty much evaporated more than 5 years ago from the commercial area. And I think part of the Freedom Scientific evolution is we have a group here that's going to, I believe, make a lot more success with the products. At the same time, they're going to be operating in a more business-like and professional area. And, I think that toll-free support is nice, and as a nonprofit, it's been easy for us to justify it, even though it's quite expensive. At the same time, but I don't really disagree with Freedom going and dropping toll-free tech support. I think that, on the other hand, they better deliver good quality support with quick response time so that people feel like they haven't lost out. The second half sort of implies a premise that I don't agree with. And that was that blind people, because of their challenges in employment, need things free, which is not something that Arkenstone has ever fully been signed up for. We're a nonprofit, but we are not a charity. Our goal has been not to make money in this industry, but not to lose it. We didn't have the money to lose. We had to operate right at about what it cost us to operate to deliver the social benefits that we wanted to deliver, which was providing people with tools to, so they could help themselves access information independently. And so we've never given away the technology. I mean, if I had a certain amount of money, I'd rather plow it into a 10% below cost subsidy than to 10 people rather than give one product away. So the appeal that we need to help people because they're in a disadvantaged state doesn't play as well. And of course, Arkenstone marketed primarily to the consumer. That was our difference. Rather than marketing over the heads of consumers like so many of the companies of 1989 when we got started did, we went directly to the consumer. And, in our first couple of years, it was a clear majority of consumers buying our products out of their own pocket that got Arkenstone its start. And we didn't really make inroads into the institutional clients until the consumers demanded it. And even today, I'd say Arkenstone sales, less than half of our sales are to rehab. That's in the United States. Obviously, in countries like some of the European countries that have very, very generous social benefits, the majority of products acquired by social insurance. But here in the U.S., we don't have that kind of a system. And so we're trying to figure out ways to allow people to get this equipment themselves.
Sure, and people do pay a premium for that, though. I mean, you could go out and buy OmniPage off the shelf for much, much less than you would pay for not just OpenBook, but any specialized OCR package for the blind. And I suppose the point here is that it's a chicken and egg thing. A lot of people make that huge sacrifice in order to try and be competitive in the job market, and to have something that they did have just until recently and will have till the end of the month taken away from them, I guess is going to cause a little bit of a customer service issue for Freedom Scientific.
I don't believe it will, on several points. First of all, the whole reason that we justify this product at the price point we justify it is productivity for the user. In other words, there are less expensive solutions out there, but if you sit down and say, I'm going to try and read a book, and you're doing the balancing act, while you can do it with an off-the-shelf product and a screen reader, you're going to be much more productive. And if saving the bottom dollar is your key priority, you may not go with our product. And, of course, at the other hand of the spectrum, we know that because this market is a reasonably small market, that we can't make a lot of money operating as an independent company developing the product. And one of the things that's going to change with Freedom Scientific is that Blazy, Henter, Arkenstone, perhaps other companies, are going to benefit from a lot of the shared costs that as small companies we've each had to bear. The cost of tech support, order processing, manufacturing, accounting, web infrastructure. Here are all these costs that we're all basically being paid for by companies in the 5 to 10 or $15 million range a year that are quite expensive. Just by becoming part of Freedom Scientific, they can actually make somewhat higher profits while investing a lot more in the development of the product. So the customers get good service, maybe not free service, but good service, and they get products with more frequent releases because more is being invested in R&D, so better products, and, they get a lot more information, a lot more infrastructure, a more professional package. I mean, I think the goal is that these companies become far larger by joining forces than if they remained apart. And while people in our industry have dreamed of doing something like that for years, I don't think until Dick Chandler came along that I ever saw anyone who I thought had such a good chance at pulling it off, had a, much better than even chance at pulling it off.
There has been a view expressed, though, that this conglomeration or consolidation of companies is creating a kind of a Microsoft of the blind community. Do you agree with that? Is it eventually going to become the only game in town and therefore be able to drive up product pricing?
I don't believe either of those things will happen, basically that there'll be a Microsoft for the blind. I think that Freedom Scientific wants to be the leader in each of these categories where they're acquiring companies. I don't see there's much doubt in that. But I do see, and I've had, this particular conversation with Dick Chandler, that Freedom is going to try to excel by delivering the best product at the best price, where the incentive for people to pick Freedom is purely on the positive side. This gives me the most value for my dollar. I get the best service package. And they're not going to try to wield the negative power that the largest player in an industry can, like Microsoft, as Microsoft got basically convicted of, which was, you know, using their power in a negative way to drive other people out of business. I don't think you're going to see that Freedom. I think, you know, are you going to see them going out there and trying to do their best? Yes, but not, I'll give you an example of the kind of fear that I've heard, you know. Freedom is going to tell distributors they must stop selling competing products. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Freedom's going to operate that way. They would rather they carry those competing products and people look at them side by side and pick the Freedom product because it's the best one. And I think, you know, Jonathan, you probably heard me say, more or less, try the competing products and pick the one you like best in my market for the last 10 years. So it's a philosophy that I greatly endorse. I'm interested in seeing how this evolves. I mean, I'm interested in going off inventing new products that are completely different than anything that we've done before. And you know, I don't have to go with Freedom Scientific with those new products if they're not reading systems. But my expectation is if they do their job right, it'll be that if I look at, you know, the choice, do I start up a new company with all the infrastructure or do I license it to Freedom to produce and deliver it to the people I'm trying to benefit? I have a feeling that could be a very attractive choice for my next project in this area.
The dealer issue is an interesting one because I know there are some pretty vocal dealers of yours who have not approved of Hinder Joyce for whatever reason, and now they find they're sort of under the same umbrella. Do you expect that there may be some dealers who will no longer carry the Ark and Stone line of products as a result of this?
You know, I think short term I'm not expecting to see any changes because the plans are to just maintain the status quo that, you know, Arkansas dealers are Arkansas dealers and Enerjoyce dealers are Enerjoyce dealers, and you don't automatically become one or the other or stop being one or the other because of this change. I think that Freedom will later this year come up with a proposal of programs for dealers for them to evaluate and make their own choices. And I really hope that Freedom comes up with a program that looks so good to our dealers that we not only keep all of our existing good dealers, but acquire new ones.
What about the SSIL standard? I don't know whether Ark and Stone's been actively working on that in recent times, but of course that was very much an open standards initiative in the sense that you were sharing that technology with anyone who wanted it. Where does that fit into the new picture?
We have been doing some work on SSIL. I mean, our long-term goal has been hoping that Microsoft will fix defects in their SAPI design that would enable us to switch to, let's say, a new version of SAPI. And they haven't done that yet. They haven't dealt with some of the structural problems in SAPI. So what we actually have done is upgraded the SSIL in the last year, actually, to work under NT, to support the SAPI synthesizers as individual synthesizers, and actually solve some of the conflict problems that exist between SAPI synthesizers through the SSIL. Basically, the SSIL is going to stay with Benetech. We're, you know, going to continue to make it freely available. But my hope is still that, I'm hoping the SSIL will phase out. I'm also expecting to try to do some new projects of the SSIL sort under the Benetech umbrella that would be open source projects or freely available technology. Right now I'm trying to understand where those opportunities might be and then if there's some technology we're developing it would help the entire industry as the SSIL did, and still does to some extent, I'd like to continue to deliver that.
You've always said that there are synergies between the work that Ark and Stone has done in the blindness and low vision market and in the learning disability market, and so I was interested in the press release to note that the LD area is going to the Blazy division and the blindness stuff is going to the Hinder Joyce division. Is that a wise move?
Actually, that's not what's happening. What's happening is that the open book software product is going to be with the Freedom group that's based in the Henner Joyce area. And actually, that group is going to take on more than just what Henner Joyce has been doing. It's going to take on orders and a lot of tech support and the like. And that will be based in St. Petersburg, Florida. The Vera Reading System, which is a standalone reading system produced mainly for the U.S. and Canadian markets as a standalone reading machine all in one box, that's going to be going to the Stuart, Florida plant of Freedom Scientific, which is also where Blasey Engineering is going to be moving a lot of their operations. And those are going to be the hardware group. And so they'll be building Braille displays and note takers and reading machines. The third element of the Arkenstone product line, which is the WIN reading software for people with learning disabilities, is actually going to stay here in California under the direction of Roberta Brosnahan, who's been our VP of Marketing and also has also spent a lot of time on the WIN project. And so she's going to be focusing on that. And my engineering team is going to be developing it, as I've noted. WIN and OpenBook share roughly 70% of the same code. One of the really good advantages, though, of this new funding structure is it used to be we would spend 9 months doing a new version of OpenBook and then 6 months doing a new version of WIN and then 9 months doing OpenBook and back and forth. With the new structure, we're going to be able to be working on both in parallel. And as I noted before, I think that means that the next version of OpenBook is going to come out at least 6 months earlier than it would have otherwise, because we won't have to finish the new version of WIN before we can start working on another version of OpenBook.
And so is the code in OpenBook and Vera quite different?
No, that's also very similar. Actually, the code commonality between Vera and OpenBook is over 98%. Vera is simply a very simple reading machine that has a tape recorder-like interface, and it's aimed at a user who's not interested in the computer, wants an appliance, and it has all the OpenBook technology under the hood, but we've spent a lot of effort to hide all that so the person doesn't have to deal with menus or shift keys or anything really complicated. It just has a few buttons and it just works.
Sure, and so you don't anticipate any fallout from separating Vera from OpenBook in different buildings?
No, because we're not separating the software task. I think the software for OpenBook and Vera is going to stay together. Certainly it's going to stay together through the new versions of this year. And what the Blasey team is really going to be doing is building the product. And, of course, if, you know, people who've studied the manufacturing strategies of different groups here, one thing that Blaze is particularly good at is building large quantities of custom hardware for blind people. That's always been kind of a challenge, is how to build products that aren't too expensive because of the high production costs of making short quantities. And Blaze has been very good at cranking out large quantities of products, and I'm expecting them to redesign the Vera box to be a lot more cost-effective and easier to manufacture and probably smaller, but the software is going to stay the same and continue to co-evolve with OpenBook in parallel without separation.
Now, are you able to tell me anything he says, knowing the answer probably, about what's coming up in the coming versions of OpenBook?
All I can tell you is that the Summer Blind Conventions here in the United States are in 3 weeks, and we're going to have lots of exciting announcements there.
Oh, good. Well, I'll be in Louisville, and ACB Radio will be doing lots of coverage from Louisville for the ACB convention, so you're keeping it all under wraps for those conventions.
Until then, but it's going to be great.
Here's another one that I expect I know the answer to. Do you expect some more groundbreaking announcements of this kind from Freedom Scientific in the near future?
Well, I think the answer to that is yes. I'm just drawing that from their public statements in the press releases that they're out looking to buy more companies. And I would expect to see over the coming year Freedom buy at least a handful of companies. I'm not sure which companies those will be, but I think that, the goal of Freedom Scientific is to build the international leader in adaptive technology for blind and low vision people, and so they're going to be out filling in more gaps in their product lines and making more alliances and hopefully doing it all in a very positive way that that manages to make the blind consumer the winner.
Do you have any views as to what companies it makes sense for them to try and acquire?
Oh, none that I would care to elaborate upon.
Yeah, well, you can't blame a guy for asking. Look,
No,
I appreciate you coming on the program, and I hope that that has set the record straight on some of the issues that I've seen on the lists, and all the very best for the future of Benetech, and we look forward to the announcements at the convention with considerable anticipation.
All right, thank you very much, Jonathan. We'll be talking more, I'm sure.